It's always, as I said at the beginning of the week, this always a tough game, especially against the Chiefs, as well coached and as much talent and as good a team as they are. So working through our final preparations today and tomorrow, and try to be ready to go Thursday night and play a good 60-minute football game. But I have a lot of respect for Andy, the Chiefs, and their players, coaches, their organization. They've established a strong organization out there in the last 4 years, and I know we'll have our hands full.
Bill, I guess just picking up on that a little bit, Andy Reid said the other day he really appreciates your friendship, what you've done for the NFL, and he added that nobody does it better. So I guess just on maybe a little bit of a more personal level or coaching level, I know you have great respect for him, but where
yeah,
are the...
Feel the same way, yeah. You know, Andy's a great coach, one in two organizations, and I respect the way he coaches his team. I respect the way they play. They're always tough. We've had great battles with them. I don't think anybody's can't think of too many teams that have handled us better than the way they handled us in 2014. But that was one game, but there have been a lot of great competitive games, you know, going back to the 07 game here when he was in Philadelphia. But you know, I know Andy's family. I have a lot of respect for him, his family, him personally and professionally. So, yeah, he's one of the great coaches in this league.
Bill, how does something like that manifest itself? Does it help that he was in the NFC? No, I know you have relationships with other coaches, but how do you...
Yeah, well, we played against them in preseason. I don't know if it was every year, but it seemed like it was every year. It wasn't every year, but it was a lot. So got a chance to see him on a regular basis, did a lot of trades. Yeah, we've never been on the same staff together, so there isn't that type of relationship. But for not being on the same staff together... So we're pretty close.
What is the backlog of experience you have competing against Reed and just watching his teams? Does it make week one, I want to say easier, but when there's so much unexpected that could happen week one because he has put, obviously, he's been a coach for so long, do you know in some ways what to expect from him, or do you just still have to be prepared for something you've never seen before?
Well, I mean, I don't think he's going to be... You know, Andy's a West Coast offense disciple, and that's a very extensive system. So I think it's going to be within the West Coast family of what he does. I don't think he's going to come in and run the wishbone. But that being said, there's a lot of ways to dress it up. There's a lot of ways to make it look the same, different, but it's really the same. To force different defensive adjustments or different personnel groups or run the same play. But it's on a different guy, so the same player can't really repeat, you know, his read on the play, things like that. So he does a great job of that. It's not like he comes in with a new offense every week. But it's tough to defend because it's sound, it's well balanced. They have complementary plays, so if you're stopping one thing, they have something else they can go to, and vice versa. They have play actions that come off their running game and so forth. So they know what they're doing. I mean, they're very experienced at it. They know how to attack you in all three phases of the game. They're good, great in the kicking game. They're good on defense. They're good on offense. They're a well-balanced team, which there's a lot of teams in the NFL that can't say that. But they're one of them that can. So they're at the top of the league and, you know, in a lot of categories. They have a lot of good players. They're a very experienced team. They don't have a lot of new faces. A lot of people that are back. He's kept the guys that were 1-4 last year that were 12-4 with. So he's obviously, you know, pretty happy with the team that he's built. Not that he hasn't made some key additions and you know, continue to build on it, but he's got a lot of people back with a lot of experience in what they're doing. So they can do more than some other teams can just because they've done it over a period of time together.
Among the qualities, it seems that ability on special teams has been one of the common denominators with players acquired this past weekend. At this point in the season, how much of a learning curve would you say there is on special teams?
It was a learning curve for any new player. Depends on the player. It depends on what his background was and so forth. If our positions are the same as his positions, if our techniques are the same as his techniques, if our adjustments are the same as the adjustments that he's used to or that he's been doing, sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. Some players pick those things up quickly. Some players, it takes a little longer until they experience it and adjust to it. So each case is different.
You mentioned special teams in the kicking game, Coach.
They have some game breakers on special teams. How much of a concern specifically has that been?
Huge. And they got two of the top returners in the league on the same team. So they have good specialists. Colquitt's one of the best in the league. They do have a good core group. They cover well. They're sound. They're well coached. Their lane discipline and leverage is good. Their blocking is good. They don't cut a lot of guys loose. They get a hat on a hat and give the returner some space. They're a good situational team, like must onside kick and hands team. They're aggressive. They'll fake. They'll surprise onside kick. They do things like that to keep you off balance, so you have to be sound. You can't overplay things, or you'll give up something else. So they do a good job in all those areas. It's one of the best special teams units in the league, and it consistently is. And I think last year they were second or third, whatever it was. But they were very high, one of the top teams, and looks like they're still there. This year in preseason, again, some core players. They picked up Pierre Lewis, Sorensen. Like I said, the specialists, the skill players. So they're a solid group.
So what kind of trouble does Tyreek Hill pose just with his speed and breakaway ability?
Yeah, he can attack the defense at all three levels. So he's a tough guy to defend. And tackling's an issue when he gets the ball. Sometimes they throw it to him. Sometimes they hand it to him. Sometimes he gets it on kick return. So he can get it in a lot of different ways. It involves a lot of different players that might have to deal with him in one way or another. So puts a lot of stress on your team. Just then that it's like you just match up one guy on him. Like every guy on the team, basically, in the kicking game or on defense, we might have to deal with it, this player. So yeah, he's fast, he's quick, and he's a big playmaker.
Well, it seems like Marcus Peters gets his hand on the football pretty often. Are there certain throws you try to avoid when going up against a cornerback with those kind of ball skills?
Yeah, definitely. He's got very good ball skills. He's got good anticipation, and he's one of those ball hawking type of players. So he has very good awareness of where the ball is, who he's covering, where the other receivers are. A lot of times he makes plays on balls that aren't really thrown to his player, his guy, or the guy you would think he's covering. He falls off him and makes the play on somebody else. It's tough for the quarterback because you think he's occupied, but he makes you think he's occupied, but he really isn't. He's seeing the ball and breaking on it. He's long, he's hard to throw over, but very good hands, good anticipation. If you run a sloppy route, he'll jump it, sit on it, and you're throwing it right to him. So it is a good job. Barry reads the quarterback well. They try to have on a lot of their defenses, there's at least one free player somewhere in the defense that's kind of roaming around. If the quarterback doesn't see him, he'll get the ball. So,
Coach, a lot of us watched the Do Your Job documentary from the other night, and it's obvious that you appreciate, if not demand, intense preparation. Would you say that fans acquiring and accumulating tens of thousands of Roger Goodell clown nose towels is, if nothing else, meticulous preparation?
Yeah, I'm not really too concerned about all the exterior things with the game, just trying to get ready for the Chiefs. So.
With Brandon Cooks and Philip Dorsett, the decision to acquire them this offseason, how much did their elite speed play into the reason for bringing them in?
Well, I think both those players have a number of good skills at their position. So I'd say it's the combination of all of it. We're not putting together a track team here. We're trying to put a football team. So good football player is a good football player, whatever those skills are. They can help our team. Great. Everything's important, but I don't think one thing is in this league. It's just doing, being able to do one thing just isn't enough to have much value. Maybe a little, but not in the end. It's usually not enough. Got to be able to do a little more than that.
Though we've seen Eric Rowe place on in the slot this summer, how has the adjustment been for him in that position, and what does it do for your defense when you have a player with his kind of length in that spot?
All right. Well, I'm sure you've seen a lot of players play in that position. I've seen a lot of players play outside, a lot of players play inside. It's something that we do in preseason and training camp for a number of different reasons. So seen everybody play everywhere probably. Seen safeties play extended, seen them play deep, seen them play in the box. See corners play inside, play outside. So hopefully we are able to have versatility in our defense and work on those matchups so if the players do play there or when they play there that they have some experience there and are familiar with those techniques. So, but I can't think of any player, any safety that hasn't played up and back, any corner that hasn't played in and out, really any safety that hasn't played on the perimeter in certain sets as well.
Bill, you mentioned that 2014 game before. Obviously, it wasn't a very good night for the team, and a lot was said about the team and the quarterback. And since then, been a lot of wins and two Super Bowl titles and a lot of success here. Have you ever reflected on what a turning point that game in 2014 was for the franchise?
Yeah, I think I mentioned that in the 2014 season. But yeah, in all honesty, I mean, I don't really care about that. I don't care about 2014 right now. It's worrying about Thursday night. This team's this team, and 2017 Chiefs team is the 2017 Chiefs team. And, you know, whatever's relevant from previous games in Philadelphia or Kansas City, 14, 15, 7, 11, whatever years there were, you know, that is what it is. But it's really the focus is on this game. I'm not really too concerned about 2014 right now.
Coach Tom spoke yesterday about nerves. You've been in football a long time. Is there anything regarding football that still makes you nervous?
Yeah, well, opening day is always a time where you have a lot of questions, butterflies. Yeah, I think that's part of opening day. A lot of unknowns on our team, a lot of unknowns on their team, a lot of unknowns when the two collide. So, see how it goes.
Bill, when a defense has 33 takeaways, is there something about sort of the entire culture of that unit in contributing to that?
Well, it starts to have good players. So they take the ball away in a lot of different ways. That's why one of the reasons why they have so many. They have a lot of fumbles. They have a lot of interceptions. They strip sack the quarterback. They cause fumbles with ball carriers. They intercept passes, and they disrupt the quarterback with the pass rush to create some poor throws, tip balls, things like that. And the secondary has good ball skills, good hands. So Peters, Barry, in particular, do a good job. But, I mean, all those guys are pretty good. Their safeties have played corners. Sorensen, it's another guy. Parker was a former corner, but he has good hands. Johnson is another very instinctive player with good hands and good ball skills at the linebacker position. So, they do it at all three levels. They do it in a lot of different ways. It's not just one thing, really, that you got to be concerned about. It's pretty much all of it. So probably, where the numbers come from. It's not one guy. It's got 25 of them. It's the D-line, the linebackers, the secondary, the corners, the safeties. They get a lot of production all the way across the board.
Okay.
What was the last one?
It was Andy Reid, just to finish where we started. I was just going to ask you talked about how much you respect him as a coach. What do you appreciate about the friendship? I know you touched on it briefly, that you have more than you have a personal connection, but what do you appreciate about the friendship you've had over the years with him?
Yeah, I mean, everything. It's all the things outside of football. Family. Just personal things that we have in common, personal likes, dislikes.
All right. Thanks for sticking around.
All right.